ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Here we are. It's two podcasts in the same day. Jesse Velasquez, Ryan Droste. No Justin Joint tonight, but just us two to talk about night two of WrestleMania 41. And boy, Jesse, am I underwhelmed. We just talked in the green room before we went live. You don't seem to be as negative on it as me, but I will allow you to explain yourself as we get started. But for my money, that was the worst WrestleMania main event of all time, Cody Rhodes and John Cena. It was real bad. I got plenty to say on it. How are you doing this evening?
Tupac Shakur, right? That's what we're doing this evening.
Yes. And I just got off the R&B report, so I guess I've done three today.
Yeah, you're on fire.
We did the watch along, Jeremy Lawson, myself. And so we're jumping on pretty much. I mean, the show ended just a little bit over a half hour ago. It is 10:35 in the central time zone. We're going to knock this show out tonight and give you the content so you got everything to listen to Monday at work or at school or commuting or whatever you are doing. It's WrestleMania. We have to go live. So we're going to do just that. I don't even know if I want to ask you your grade for the show right now, because I feel like your opinion on the main event is really going to color, you know, the grade for the show. If you guys are joining us, by the way, live in the chat, you can give us your grade for the show. I know it's late, so I'm not expecting as big of a live crowd as usual. Also, like every wrestling podcast in the world is doing the show right now, but we'll see how we do. Let us know your grade as we get to go in here. I don't know. I guess we can get the grades out of the way, then we'll get into the main event. Give me your grade for the show tonight, Jesse.
Oh, as I'm currently watching back a little bit of Cody Rhodes giving a crossroads to Travis Scott and kind of getting a second wind and recollaborating what I saw the first time, because as I told you in the green room, I was like, it isn't as atrocious as everybody in my opinion's making it out to be. And now I'm watching it back and going, maybe it was. I'm not 100% sure. So I'll ask a question after I give you my grade. I'm still, and I could downgrade this, I'm still going to give this a B+.
Ooh. See, I was at an A on this show before the main event. Like
I was at an A-.
Yeah, the undercrowd. Sorry, it's been a long day. The undercard was outstanding. Like, it was blowing away night one. And we're going to be super complimentary of the undercard, you know, but this was the marquee match of the weekend. It went on last. It did not deliver. I think I got to give it a lower grade than we saw night one, just because that show went off the air with such a good closing angle. The main event was outstanding. And this is the last thing that you're left with in your mind. So despite how good the undercard was, which, by the way, the opener on this show was by far the best match of the weekend, which we'll talk about. So we had the match of the weekend on tonight's show. I don't think I can go higher than I'll go B- on it. I gave night one a B. I'll give it a B- because the undercard was so strong. But man, I am so negative, Jesse, on that main event. It was atrocious. I think there's so many issues with what happened in that main event. Do you want me to start ranting, or you want to give your take here first on it?
I do want you to rant, and I'm actually going to ask you this question at the same time. I don't, honestly, and this is me, I have never seen WrestleMania 27. Miz versus Cena. Was this worse than that? Because yes. I keep hearing that was probably the worst main event in history. I'm trying to recollect.
I haven't seen it since I watched it live. I know, like, that's one of my least favorite manias altogether. But the match itself, I got to say, was better than this from what I recall 14 years ago. I mean, this, Ryan Huffman, I love you. I don't know how you can give this show an A, man. I just don't. You can't. This was beyond a wet fart. WWE shit their pants in that main event. It was. Okay, let me just ask you this.
Yeah.
Let's start here. Why did John Cena turn heel? Why? He worked as a babyface in the whole main event. I mean, obviously the crowd was behind him. It's a smarky crowd. He worked babyface. We didn't get The Rock. There's That's no true. Reason Travis Scott needs to be a heel because he's a pop star. If John Cena is a babyface and they worked they could have worked the exact same match. I mean, what? He took a shortcut. He won with a belt shot, Jesse. A belt shot. That was the closing. That was the finish. A belt shot. I am stunned by this company is so good at production. I'm absolutely floored that John Cena hit a belt shot. It took forever for the ref to get in the ring, finally get the cover, and that's the pinfall. This is the record-setting title win to pass Ric Flair. Why not give him another AA? I would have thought that John Cena gets him up on his shoulders, Cody gets color, you know, or something. He does something at the camera, hits the AA, pinfall. Like, if you're looking to show this as a replay in the years ahead, what are you showing? You know, this is the record-setting victory, and it was nothing. I mean, it was a fart in church. I mean, yeah, the crowd is happy. It's I agree with you, Ryan Huffman. The right guy won. Absolutely. We said it on the show. John Cena has to win this match. It's just the execution was a total failure. You can't have John Cena turn heel and team up with The Rock and never freaking see the guy again. You have to have him there to do the angle. You know, we all heard the reports. You know, Dwayne decided at the last second that he wants to get involved in WrestleMania. And then all it was him doing that angle at Elimination Chamber, which was just a handful of weeks after he was at the Raw on Netflix and all buddy-buddy with Cody. And then he's this devious guy turning heel with John Cena, and we never see him again. If I paid big bucks to go to this show, I would be so disappointed right now that is how this show ended. I mean, frankly, if that's how the show was going to end, this should have main evented night one. They ended with the wrong match. They should have ended the weekend with that outstanding angle with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and CM Punk. That should have closed the weekend. It was so much better. It's just the problem is the execution. Now, the match itself was terrible. I assume that they would go a slow pace because Cena's older. He's not working. My assumption as we were doing the watch along on BR was that they're probably going to go like 30 minutes. They got to pace themselves. John's probably not in great ring shape. It never kicked in. It just never got to that next gear. You know, you get John doing the STF, which his whole career, the STF he does has never looked good. But when he locked in that STFU, Jesse, I'm telling you, when I was bottle feeding my children, I held their heads tighter than John Cena with that STFU.
That's true.
there was daylight between Cody's head and his forearms. I mean, it was terrible. I was keeping score here. So, I mean, I can read you off the scorecard. We had four AAs in this match. We had two crossroads, two Cody cutters, all of that. The STFU, which was almost like 3-1 because he had to keep resetting. And yet the finish is a belt shot. And Travis Scott coming down to ringside, doing a slower entrance than The Undertaker, took forever to get down there. I mean, man, I can't possibly put a positive spin on this. It was a total failure all around. And we had, I'll tell you this, I'll show you some evidence of this. We had almost 2,000 people on our watch along on BR tonight. And I put up a poll there at the end on what did you think of the main event? And usually on the Bleacher Report app, because we're in the WWE section on there when we're streaming, you get overwhelmingly positive WWE fans. Okay, let me just put this screenshot of me and Jeremy up on the screen right now. 59% of the live viewers on that show gave the main event a D or an F. 60% out of 2,000 people. I mean, 6% gave it an A, 11%.
Heel Usy gave it an A?
Yeah, maybe. 24% a C, almost 60% a D or F. I mean, that is an epic failure when you build this up as a dream match. I mean, I'm sorry, but again, there was no reason John Cena had to go heel the way that this played out. There just wasn't. It's not even a very heelish way to win the match. You know, yeah, he threw him into the unprotected turnbuckle twice and he'll belt shut. Babyfaces do shit like that all the time. I just maintain that there was no reason to turn him. They could have done the same match, babyface John Cena. Crowd would have still been behind him either way. You know, it's WrestleMania. You know, you're getting the smart fans there. It played out exactly the same. You know, and I'm sure Paul Levesque is going to go up there at the media scrum tonight, and he's going to pull the, oh, this is chapter one. You guys don't know where we're going. That's bullshit. This is the biggest show of the year. Chapter one can't be the main event of WrestleMania 41. You got to give your fans some bigger payoff than that. I don't even know how the most positive WWE fans could defend it. I just don't. Now, the undercard we'll get to was outstanding, great stuff, but this main event, horrendous. All right, you can go ahead now.
Okay, so I'm going to upgrade today's or night one to B minus, because we had talked about that a little bit. I think the more I thought about it, this one I'll downgrade to a B. Yeah, now that you're really putting the spins into perspective and all of this making sense, when, yeah, there definitely should not have been a heel turn number one. Yeah, and I was not a fan of Travis Scott coming out there anyway, but valid point on how long it took him to get out there, and Cena with the cheesy grin, and it's just, yeah, that didn't sit well either. I'll give you that. You hit him with a nut shot and then hit him with the belt. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I kicked him in the nuts. Cena kicked Cody in the nuts. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So call back to Elimination Chamber. That makes sense. Yeah, it definitely shouldn't have ended like that. You probably, after the belt shot, he probably should have hit him with an AA or two and called it good, I think, there. It would have rescued whatever good faith was left. And oh, nice. By the way, I'll finish this. Paul Levesque, you just put the championship on a guy who was paler than Sting at Starrcade 1997.
I just think it's so upsetting just from a production standpoint. This company is always top end on production. I can't believe that that's how they, you know, rolled with the Flair was there. They've already published the picture of Cena and Flair backstage, you know, oh, number 17. They put number 17 up on the big Titantron on the stage. That's the finish, John. Get him up for an AA, something. Do something. That was so weak. I am stunned, Jesse. Absolutely stunned that that's what they came up with. I mean, boy, these last few weeks, the booking of Paul Levesque ain't been great. Ain't been great. I mean, he, you know, we saw him in the media this week, got very defensive. He's going to be getting lambasted by pretty much everybody, I think, after this one. And look, it's wrestling. Things change week to week. He'll have a chance to right his wrongs. Maybe they rescue the story. This isn't the, you know, again, it's not the nail in the coffin, but my God, it's the biggest show of the year. You got to go off the air with something better than that. Just
he's on as we speak, by the way, Paul Levesque is. Okay. So if anybody's in the chat and wants to kind of relay some things that happened, please let us know. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
No, and I'm really trying to rack my brain. 1 to 40, if there has been a main event that is worse than this. And like I said, I mean, Miz Cena, but I haven't seen it. So,
I mean, the ones that come to mind that people always rag on is like Mania 9, of course. But like,
Brett
got a decent match out of Yoko. I mean, people don't like the finish, obviously. People always go to like Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam at Mania 11. But look, that's a celebrity match.
I didn't mind it.
It was fine for what it was. Hogan and Sid at Mania 8. Look, you got the Warrior returning. Fans were happy. If they brought out Rock afterwards and they did something with Rock and Cena, they could have rescued it. We were on that stream, Jeremy and I, and we were like waiting and waiting. Like, this can't be the end. Something's going to happen. There's 20 minutes left because they went off the air a lot earlier than last night. We're like, something's going to happen here. Rock's going to come out. They're going to set up something. Nothing. He just walks up the stage, up the ramp, with the belt on backwards, big smile on his face, the heel, crowd cheering. Again, there was no purpose for this heel turn whatsoever. That what we've been building up for the last 2 months, Dwayne Johnson, never to be seen again. What a disappointment. What a disappointment.
Yeah, this is more disappointing than Survivor Series 22 when it was the anniversary, 25th anniversary of him debuting at Survivor Series 21, actually, and he didn't debut or didn't reemerge there. This was definitely a lot more disappointing. I just texted somebody in attendance, by the way, the Naz Reid guy. I was asking him what his opinion was in the main event. He didn't give it to me. All he said was the women's triple threat was the match of the weekend for him because he was in attendance both nights.
Yeah. No, great seats for him. Always love seeing the Naz.
Yeah.
Sign.
Yeah.
Ever since you told us last year, you knew the guy. I'm like, oh, that's Jesse's buddy right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can come back and talk about this if people start hopping in the chat and, you know, they have comments on it. I'm pretty sure that's the big points I wanted to make. It's weird because, like,
oh, nice.
I just did that show. And
as
so,
evidence like, by someone in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Tyler. My guy Tyler here came over from BR. He's still mad.
All right.
But the main event. Now that I think about it, I was at a C. But damn it, more you talk about it, I'm going with the 59% DRF. I mean, I'm certainly giving the main event a DRF. No question about it. Okay, I think the show as a whole, I'd be around B minus just because the undercard was so good. But people were real, real negative on this one in the live stream that I just got off. But like I was saying, it's weird when you do a show right after doing a show.
I know.
I remember all the stuff I was ranting on. I'm like, did I say that on this show or that one? I'm pretty sure I got out the big points. It's just, I just wanted to hammer home. They could have done this the same way if John stayed babyface. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And people were royally mad on that stream I just got off of. I mean, it was a big sample size, 2,000 people. They were not happy. So, yeah, Cena winning, I agree with YK Beast in the chat here. No question that that was the right decision, but the execution failed. That was where the failure came in. So, should we get a little more positive for a while? And we can circle back if our audience keeps increasing. Let's just go to that first match. Okay.
Might as well. Yeah.
That first match was outstanding. It's a must-see if you didn't see it. So, you know, they open up with the triple threat, Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Bianca Belair, women's championship match, match of the weekend. No question about it. Lots of boos for Bianca Belair, just like there were a lot of boos for Cody Rhodes. The WWE was expecting that backstage all week, you know, kind of heading into the show. Cody got booed out of the building on SmackDown on Friday night. So they were expecting of that. Bianca worked more heel than John Cena did. Now that I think about it, Jesus, John, I mean, you're a veteran. He worked babyface the whole time. Bothers me.
You think he was in slow motion, by the way, when he was doing it. Is that him trying to play the heel in this aspect?
Yeah, it was slow motion. It was not great. Not as slow motion as Travis Scott, though. But this match was constant action. I'll just make the point here that I put on social media. I think that this was the second best opener in WrestleMania history.
Ooh.
Some of y'all might say, oh, yeah, he's biased because of Bret Hart and Owen Hart. But look, Bret and Owen had the storyline aspect. That brother versus brother story is one of the best storylines they ever did. Athletically, I think that tonight's match was right there with Bret and Owen. It was phenomenal. These women knocked it out of the park. I would give the nod to Bret and Owen just because of the storyline aspect of it. This was kind of shuffled together, you know, inserting EO into the match and all of that. The only other one that I would rank up there is probably Brian and Hunter at Mania 30. Yeah, that's a really good one. I'd put this one better, though. This was unreal. Just a phenomenal match. And Io Sky retains, you know, which I think is interesting because, you know, they did shoehorn her into the match. And then the story kind of became that, you know, she's the forgotten person. Everyone's talking about, you know, Bianca and Rhea. And yeah, I love this match. Jesse, give me your take.
And Bianca ate the pin, which was also an interesting thing there. I'm going to give WWE their props with their camera cuts. We talked about the triple threat the night before and how good it was and the timing of it all. The camera cuts make the timing look great. I love that you maybe somebody is kind of on the outside, like waiting their turn, quote unquote, but you never see it.
Yeah.
So I think that's huge, especially in triple threats. It's just kudos to WWE for the way they pull it off. But yeah, the execution of all of this was fantastic. Io was her typical athletic self. They all came in with pretty much their A game tonight. And you're right with the Bianca and the heel stuff with the hair whip in the middle of the reel. It's like, ouch.
That was so loud. That was in the finishing sequence. Yeah, Bianca hit the whipped her braid into Ripley. And then she was going for the kiss of death. And then out of nowhere comes Io Sky, with the over the moonsault. So again, like this, and then she gets the pinfall. So again, like the story is that those two are so laser focused on each other and Io is able to take advantage.
No, you're not kidding. And I'm going to go a little step further is that like my guy was like so in tune this weekend with WrestleMania that he said that there's a couple of matches from Bloodsport that ranked in his top three. And Io, Bianca, and Rio was his favorite match of the entire weekend.
I agree.
You're not getting any arguments from me whatsoever. Those three put on one hell of a show. Rhea didn't eat the pin, so we'll be able to see. Now she can stake claim. And where are they going to go with this world championship? Is Io going to hold this for a while? Because, I mean, there's those two. Like, Rhea definitely has a gripe to at least get a one-on-one individual rematch.
Yeah, I think they... You know, they should have done it at Mania probably, but I think now you kind of just have, don't you have to go into the singles feud with those two and then whoever emerges from that gets the shot at Io? I feel like Io's got to do something different now. Like she's got to have some other challengers for a little while and then eventually someone emerges from the Rhea Bianca feud and they get the challenging spot maybe at SummerSlam. I don't know. I mean, we're already almost to May. It's wild how late WrestleMania is.
Yeah.
This year. But, you know, I think it'll be a slow burn and we'll get there eventually. But yeah, if you're going to have her win this match, I think she's going to keep the title a while.
And it was good to see Rhea and Bianca have their moments. They think they probably went toe to toe for about 4 minutes or so. I was impressed by both of their strengths, especially Bianca pretty much deadlifting Rhea off the ground and just like giving her, was it the KOD at that point in time? It was just nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely must go back and watch it if you haven't already.
There was a point when Ripley hit a razor's edge on Io and like threw her into Bianca. It was a pretty sweet move. We had Rhea go for the riptide off the top rope and Io Sky reversed that into a arm drag counter. And then she went up for the moonsault. Missed, and then Belair hit the kiss of death, but then Ripley broke it up. That sequence.
How sweet was that, by the way? Yeah, she missed it, kind of stumbled back right into Bianca, just waiting there for a KOD, but the timing of it was just fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, no, that I can't put it over enough. It was an outstanding match. Best match of both nights, easily. These three women hit it out of the park. I mean, we're huge fans of all three of them on the pod, have been for years, and they showed us why tonight. Outstanding. I can't wait to watch it. So I was at my in-laws for like an Easter dinner tonight and I had to leave early to like watch the show. Like I got to work. I got to watch the show. My in-laws knew that. So, I mean, we had a meal. I was over there a couple hours, but then I left before the rest of the family. And when my daughters got home, I was like, oh, you just missed this match. It was so good. So after school tomorrow, we're going to watch it. I can't wait to watch it a second time. Cannot wait. Because they're going to be jumping out of their chairs for this one. It was outstanding. I'll put out my grades tomorrow morning probably for our patrons, but I'm probably at like 4.5 on this.
Nice.
I was going between 4.25, 4.5, probably at 4.5, man. It was awesome. Awesome match.
I was an hour and 40, no, hour and a half behind you. And I remember you saying, I have strength. We should pod this evening. I said, well, if anything's like the first match, because that was phenomenal, I think I might have strength too.
Yeah, because behind the scenes, we didn't know if we were going to do the show tonight. Like, scheduling is always tough with three guys, and I wasn't a very good communicator on this. I took off work tomorrow morning to do the pod, and I forgot to clear that with the guys, and they're like, oh, I don't know if we could do that. So Jesse and I maybe could have done it late morning, but it would have been pushing it. So then we were like, oh, maybe we'll do it tonight, but it's going to be a late night. And then, yeah, through this undercard, I'm texting Jesse like, I have strength. I think I can do the pod tonight. I think I can stay up, because the undercard was so freaking good, man. It was so good. And the second match. Okay, so the women's match 14 minutes, 25 seconds.
Wow, that's short.
It's a sprint. Yeah, it was a sprint. Wasn't too long. Constant action. And then, you know, they go Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest in this street fight. Unbelievable match, too. Like, they're two for two at this point. That one was tremendous. What did you think of that one?
Ooh. Drew McIntyre with the Future Shock DDT on Damian onto the stairs, and he took the brunt of it. You could see his back and just cringing in the whole way. Yeah, that stuff, it was so good. No, I mean, I'm just good chemistry between the two. I think they've had a couple of matches now. Drew was the rightful winner. I think there's anything else here off the top
interesting
of my head.
Interesting choice. So Kerry King from Slayer played Damian to the ring. Interesting choice on Easter Sunday to have Kerry King out there with the upside down cross on his t-shirt.
It is 420.
Yeah, I loved it. It was that the playing him to the ring, that was phenomenal. Crowd was super into it. But yeah, I mean, lots of pretty cool spots. I mean, Drew took a picture with his phone on the outside again and posted it within like a few minutes. It had 50,000 quote tweets or retweets.
Took his brother's phone. That was great.
Yeah, that was super cool. I'm trying to go back in my notes here. What else? Yeah, so we had the Razor's Edge second one of the night, because of course we had that one in the opening match I talked about where Priest sent McIntyre from the ropes through the announce table on that one. And then I guess the other big spot was when Damian Priest went for the Taker's old school and he's walking the ropes and McIntyre shoved him and he fell through the two tables on the outside. Big bump. That was pretty sweet. But yeah, I mean, I think McIntyre was the right winner here. He's a guy that eventually, God, I hope he gets another run with the title, but he's been losing a lot over the last year or so.
Yes.
But he always delivers. Always delivers.
Kind of cool spot with Damian Priest with the choke slam to Drew. He's running at him. He had the chair hooked inside of his neck. Oh, I thought that was pretty sweet too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was, this was outstanding too. I think, boy, I was maybe just under four on this. It was, phenomenal. Yeah. Claymore into a steel chair that was set up in the corner. Finish, pinfall. This one went 13 minutes and 55 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
These are great times.
Yeah. I mean, they left plenty of time for that main event is the thing. That's why we were like, dude, there has to be something coming because there's a lot of time left compared to where they ended last night. And no, there was nothing on the way, Jesse.
Yeah. Now you're completely selling me on this being the worst WrestleMania main event of all main time. Event. That is because Triple H Roman was at 32.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't very good. Brock
34 wasn't good either. I mean, I was there in the building. There's beach balls all over the place. They didn't go full in with Roman and Brock retaining, but still, I can't say it was this bad because you build up a storyline with Rock and he never reappears. Mm-hmm. And just the way it finished was just out of nowhere. The Travis Scott stuff sucked. I don't know, man.
Triple H Jericho blows this one away.
Yeah, 18.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
So they go from this to Dominic Mysterio against Braun Breaker against Finn Balor against Penta, the fatal four-way for the WWE IC title. This one went 10 and a half also. Also a sprint. Also very good. This one, I mean, maybe surprising that Dominic was so over. I mean, he was just getting cheered like crazy from this crowd, and he won the IC title, and they went absolutely nuts. He celebrated. He goes like halfway up the ramp, and then he ran back down to the ring and celebrated again. He came out, I did see in the post show, and everyone was cheering him. Yeah. I mean, they're 3-for-3 at this point. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal match. Give me your take, and then I'll call out a couple of spots here.
Yeah. Before that, though, we didn't talk about Bron Breakker's spear to Carlito in Minneapolis' Raw, the greatest spear I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I watched that live. It was like warp speed. It's like the WWE production fast forwarded it to get in there. Bron is something special. If he can deliver a character and like get people even more on his side, whether it's on a face or a heel dynamic, that dude can be main eventing for years.
Mm-hmm.
He just has it. He's got a hybrid of his dad and his uncle. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with him maybe over the course of 2025. I think I didn't really like the Carlito dynamic of this match too much. Mm-hmm. The interference pieces there, but all four of them gelled really well. It was pretty seamless. Nobody was waiting around again for their spots. Penta had some, they all had moments and everything, but yeah, Dom is over. There is zero question about that. A face turns in his future.
Mm-hmm. And he made his real father proud when he hit that frog splash to win the match. They built up obviously the heat between Dom and Finn and what was going to happen in this match. And at one point, Dom went for the 619 on Finn, and like Finn caught him and just started stomping the hell out of him. There was a couple big spots with Bron, like as you mentioned, despite him losing, he looked phenomenal out there. I mean, he was just throwing people around and destroying them early in the match. At one time, what did he do? He like ran off of one announce table and drove Carlito through the other one. That was pretty sick.
He hit Penta with a running shoulder block. I think he like jumped on the stairs and he probably flew at him about 7 or 8 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so let me go to my notes here, the finishing sequence. Let's see. Yeah, so there was the spear from Breakker to Carlito through the announce table, and then mm-hmm. Balor with the coup de grace on Breakker, and then out of nowhere comes Mysterio with the frog splash, and he pins Finn Balor to win the title. You know, so they protected Bron. He didn't get pinned, but you're advancing the story with the Dissension and the Judgment Day with Dominic going over. Did not hate it at all. Crowd loved it. All four guys looked really good in there. Another great match. I mean, this is right around 4 stars, I thought. I mean, it was fast-paced, really good action. They're 3-for-3. Absolutely 3-for-3 at this point.
Nice Mexican destroyer from Penta. They call it the Canadian destroyer in WWE, unfortunately. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Dominic, by the way, after the match, they showed him, or after the show was over in the post with Big E and Joe Tessitore, was wearing an Eddie Guerrero t-shirt.
I also saw, keep going back to this main event, I also saw in the post show, I had it like on in one ear as we were talking on the other live stream, and I was like, man, they're really trying to polish this up, but there's no way to do it, and God bless these guys who are trying to make that match seem good, but I guess Tessitore, I'm going from what people were saying in the chat room, mm-hmm. was basically like acknowledging it wasn't a good match and said something to the effect that, you know, Cena didn't want to give a good match to the fans or something like that. So I guess that's the angle they're going to go with.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I'm more excited that Maddie, Mr. Marijuana is here. Our friend from Australia. Here we go.
Happy 421 to you now.
I hope you were partaking on 420 in Australia yesterday for you, sir. I liked it. It's interesting watching Dom get this popularity going now. We'll see what happens there. They go from that to Randy Orton against the mystery opponent. And, you know, there was all these theories out there and who it could be. We knew it was probably not going to be Aleister Black because he looks like he's debuting on SmackDown. They've had the 425, you know, date out there. Some people thought maybe it'll be Rusev, Miro, you know, mm-hmm. returning. You know, some people thought Nick Aldis. We built that up on TV. Some people thought Solo Sikoa. Instead, we get Joe Hendry from TNA. And, you know, he got a nice pop, but they put over Randy Strong. Not surprised. 3 minutes and 10 seconds. No, nobody was going to beat Randy Orton in this situation. I mean, how do you feel about You got, you know, the TNA world champion losing in 3 minutes to Randy Orton on WrestleMania.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about that earlier this morning with AAA and WWE acquiring them. It's like WWE, no matter what's going to get over on whoever your world champion is, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, that part isn't a good look. I mean, but gosh, if you could have put, if he didn't have the championship on him, this would have been perfect. Talking about Joe Hendry, because I mean, he is a little more than a comedic act, but say his name and he appeared. I mean, it was fun. It was good comedic timing. I felt, especially when the first three matches were great. So you got to throw something in there to give him a curveball, and thought it was well done. But yeah, poor total nonstop action.
Yeah, no, I mean it was what it was supposed to be. I wasn't expecting. I was expecting a brief match, which was like I always all along felt Rusev here would not work because he'd have to be taking an L, and that's not really how you want to bring him back. I know he was in Vegas, he was there, but I just you couldn't put him in that situation. They need to bring him back and make him look dominant for a while. So, you know, I guess if you want to get a pop from the crowd, people love Joe Hendry. You know, whatever, he probably doesn't lose much losing to Randy Orton in their eyes. So, you know, he's a legend. No. You know, whatever. I thought Randy was kind of funny afterwards when he was kind of doing the Joe Hendry pose in the ring. Yeah. Gave him another RKO. You know, it was fine. It wasn't like, this is like a 2-star match, but it wasn't supposed to be a 4-star match. It was supposed to be quick. You get to see the RKO, and you know, that's it. Now, I got to tell you, man, I hope one of these chatters I saw earlier wasn't correct. I hope we're not headed to Cena versus Orton in St. Louis at Backlash. That would be real bad.
That's Orton's hometown.
I know it is, but God, don't you think they got to run back maybe Cena and Cody? I don't know. It's Backlash. That'd be a real risk, I think, to run that match at that show with these two older guys, especially given John's performance tonight. We shall see.
If they do run Cena Cody back, I hate to say it, Cody has to win.
I think so. I think he would if they do it that soon.
So. And by the way, Ric Flair has, according to cagematch.net, 19 world championships. You could count 20 if there was an NWA world title that he won in 1994 while he was still in WCW. So I don't know if that's recognized, but, and I had another friend tell me, oh, there's a couple more that weren't recognized either. So, technically, Ric Flair is still your all-time leader when it comes to world championships won. That's just WWE and their revisionist history.
Yeah, that count has never been exactly correct. That is for sure. All right. This was the first one that I kind of had issue with in some ways. So Logan Paul, AJ Styles. The issue with this is that Logan, look, anybody who listens to the show knows, as a person, us three could not disagree with this guy more on a personal level. We're not fans of Logan Paul, the person. At the same time, I think we're objective on this show, and I have given him props many times on this show, that he is a very good worker. He gets pro wrestling. The thing about Logan, though, is that, you know, he doesn't work that often, so he has plenty of time to prep for every match. They coach him up. He's super athletic, no question about it. And when he works, he knows how to work spots. I think if Logan was working on TV every single week, it wouldn't be as smooth for him probably. But when he has plenty of time to prepare and he can orchestrate these matches, he comes across very well. The problem with him is that the fans don't like him. And I don't mean like as a heel. They don't like him personally, and they don't want him on the show. He has go-away heat right now. So like, I can acknowledge he can work. It's just that they don't want to see him. And like, some of that is the real Logan Paul, you know, bleeding over. He's out there so much. You can't escape the guy, you know, let alone WWE broadcast, where his prime product is like all over the place. But like, look, just on YouTube and Jesus, there's like a reality show on Max now about his family. Who the frick would watch that, by the way? I got to tell you.
Paul America?
Yeah, with all the great television out there, who has time to watch Paul America? Who would watch that? But I mean, he's everywhere, and it's just go away heat. People don't want to see him. He's working with AJ Styles, one of the best workers of the last 25 years in this country. And at times in this match, you could hear a pin drop. Nobody cared. They were not invested. Nobody gave a shit about this match. Logan had a super cool entrance with the drone. Mm-hmm. The presentation was phenomenal, you know, pun intended, with AJ out there. This could be AJ Styles' last WrestleMania match. I hope he goes elsewhere. It'd be a lot more entertaining. I don't think there's anything left for him to do in WWE. So I'd like to see him end up in AEW. I think that's not a job pro AEW thing. It's a, this guy has been in WWE for 9 years and there's literally nothing for him to do. It's time to move on and do something fresh. This shows you here. I mean, he took the loss to Logan Paul in a match where for most of it, the crowd was dead. And when the crowd is dead for an AJ Styles match, it's time to move on, Jesse.
Not only this, and Justin Joint, our comrade who's not with us tonight, has asked this question a couple of times. Can you name a good AJ Styles match at WrestleMania? Like, we've claimed that his best match is against Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
This is, you just said it. This guy's one of the best wrestlers of the last 25 years. When he walked into the company in 2016, he was likely the best wrestler in the world because he just lost the IWGP Championship. And he's had a good probably first year with Cena and Roman and all of that. But mm-hmm. You're right. Now, this just it's a horrible look losing to a part-timer, albeit as talented as Logan Paul is. And you're right, by the way. I've actually heard people call it out when he wrestled Rey Mysterio to qualify for the Elimination Chamber, is that, okay, Logan Paul is a much better celebrity wrestler. You got to give him more time to prepare, like you just said. But if you kind of throw him in a week-to-week basis, the shine's worn off. He's got to learn how to work consistently.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a list of AJ's WrestleMania matches again. I think the Shane one is the best match. His match with LA Knight last year was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously did the cinematic thing with Taker, the Boneyard match, but I can't really count that. That's not really a standard wrestling match. That was entertaining for what it was, but, you know, pandemic era cinematic matches, whatever. But Shane is the best, probably proper match he had. What was that, like 33 or something like that?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's kind of damning. I mean, this is an ultra talented guy who, like, when he came in 2016, he was like at the top of his game, you know, coming off of that awesome New Japan and ROH run he had. And I remember being kind of pissed watching Mania 32 and he lost to Jericho. I was like, why is he losing to Chris Jericho? I was hot that night. I remember I watched it with a big group of people. I think our buddy Tim, who was in the chat, was there that night. And me and him were ranting at the time that why is AJ Styles losing to Chris Jericho? That was 9 years ago. Chris Jericho still on TV almost every week. That's a whole nother topic.
And now AJ Styles is working at WrestleMania with Karrion Kross involved in this match as well.
Yep, Karrion came out. this was the first miss in that. Like, I think athletically it was a good match.
Yeah.
But it was just there's no heat. Nobody wanted to see it, you know. I don't know. Yeah, Styles was like, what happened with Karrion? I'm trying to remember now. Karrion Kross came out and tried to get Styles to use the Nux, right?
Yes. Well, just part of that, but he also intercepted him from Logan Paul's guy, Bill or Brad. I can't remember the guy's name.
Whatever that streamer or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And AJ just threw him to the wayside and Karrion's like, use the Nux. And AJ just threw the Nux and he punched Karrion Kross out. So I thought that part was good, but there was no need for Karrion Kross to be on a WrestleMania card whatsoever in any form of capacity.
No. So yeah, he punched out Kross. He went for the phenomenal forearm. Logan Paul dodged it back in the ring, hit him with the right hand, hit the pulverizer, got the pinfall victory.
I like that finish. Do you like his finish?
Yeah, that's fine. It was just, nobody was into it. It's just weird. It's weird for me watching an AJ Styles match where the crowd's just so tuned out.
He might have a harder time hitting it on larger opponents.
True. Yeah. He's a decent sized guy, but that'll take some strength. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully maybe he'll go into something a little more entertaining than this one was, but AJ, there's nothing left for you, man. Make the move. He's got to have plenty of money by now. He's been there 9 years.
Oh yeah. He's,
I mean, it's AEW is going to pay him well.
Yeah, they're probably going to pay him over market value is what we're seeing from TKO and Endeavor. Shout out, by the way, to this chat. A lot of new folks in here. We appreciate you. We haven't been talking to you much since John Cena and Cody Rhodes, which I'll go on a rant at the end about John Cena, something I've been saying for years about him.
Yeah. Yeah, we got some new names. Make sure you guys subscribe while you're here. Hopefully some of you migrated over from the BR stream. I tried to promote it, Jesse. I was telling all those people at the end, I'm going to be going live with Jesse.
Make
here
it in work.
Like 2 minutes over to YouTube. So got some new people. Good stuff. All right. Yeah. And that brought us to the, we don't get to talk about Steve Austin yet, because that's going to be a good discussion. But before we get there, it was the Women's Tag Team Championship match. One that they've changed. So it was originally going to be Lyra Valkyria and Bayley. They ran this injury storyline with Bayley. So Lyra now had a mystery partner to take on Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, the champions. Of course, Liv Morgan making headlines all weekend long, if you've been on social media, having a good time out in Las Vegas. Got a great pop from the crowd when she came out. Then out comes Lyra. And then comes her fellow countrywoman, Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch makes her return to WrestleMania. Massive response from the crowd. Really fun to see Becky return. And so I guess it kind of felt like you bring back Becky Lynch, you got to change the title. And Lyra and Becky won the titles from Liv and Raquel. I was a little surprised. I would not have picked a title change here, but that's the route they went. I mean, Becky looked pretty good out there, a little rusty at times, but you know, overall, match was fine, I thought. What did you think of this match?
11 months away.
Yeah.
And Liv was the one, was her last match, I believe, was in a cage. And we were very curious, like, where is Becky? I think she was on stage a few days ago just saying, oh, I'll come back. I don't think I'm coming back to wrestling anytime soon. My husband's doing just fine.
Yeah, it was a comedy show out in LA, I believe, or something like that. And then they posted a video of her backstage during night one reacting to Seth's heel turn and being so excited and all of that. So we knew she was there. They kind of told us that. But yeah, I mean, did you notice much rust from her in the match? I noticed like a little bit at times.
Yeah, there definitely was. I mean, it helps having the women's Intercontinental Champion and a fellow countryman in your corner. Hey, it's good to get the Intercontinental Champion on the card somehow. Come on. Chelsea Green wasn't on it either. That's another story for another day. Nice job with those mid-card championships you threw in there, WWE. Yeah, no, I thought the match was fine. But again, it started really, really high and just started to slowly go down. I thought they worked hard. I'll give them that. But yeah, now we have Lyra two belts, as Becky mentioned in the scrum as well. She mentioned she was content at home and getting her daughter into a routine and into school and everything. So the humanizing part kind of hit me in the heartstrings. I was watching it just before we got in the air. If you guys get a chance to see it, go. I think it's well worth your time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess, you know, it'll be kind of interesting to see the direction they take this. You know, is it going to come out that Becky was behind the attack on Bayley or something like that? I mean, they could go different directions with this. But yeah, it was, you know, Becky was the obviously the star in the match. Everything in the match built up to that crescendo of Becky, you know, in there at the end cleaning house. I mean, she was on the outside while Lyra was getting beat down and you're waiting for the hot tag. You know, the other story, of course, was that, you know, you had Liv scared of going head to head with Becky throughout most of the match, running away from her. I don't know. You know, another thing while I'm thinking it here before I get back to the match that I liked about this show was Wade Barrett being on commentary. So I don't have to hear Pat McAfee as much. Way better, you know, color guy next to Michael Cole. And we're just not constantly hearing Pat McAfee. It's more Wade Barrett, who is much, much better than Pat McAfee.
His first WrestleMania on commentary.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed him and his insights. I missed Bad News Barrett back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was funny. So anything else on this match? I'm trying to remember. Let's see. Let me scroll
through. The hot potatoing of this women's tag team championship is really odd. I mean, we would like some stability. We thought we had it with Bianca and Jade, and Bianca became Bianca and Naomi. We were thinking it was going to be Liv and Raquel running with this too after they defeated them. It's like, oh, there's not going to be a team that's going to unseat them for a while. And now this happens. This is going to be super short probably as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was the manhandle slam to Liv for the pinfall. So, I mean, yeah, everything about it, you know, pretty much put over Becky, which is odd because, man, like everything about Liv Morgan, she's feeling like this huge breakout star right now.
Absolutely.
So it's going to really, really depend on where they go moving forward. You know, with someone like Becky, it just, I've never really liked it when they turned her heel. You know, I don't know what it is, but it just never goes over well for me. Like it feels like the only payoff here is, you know, it's Tyler's point in the chat that she kind of hijacked the post-match interview from Lyra. Is it going to be that, you know, Becky's the heel and she's stealing the spotlight, she attacked Bayley and all that? But I don't know if I really like that. I just kind of feel like Becky is this legend now in the division. People just want to cheer her. We'll see.
She gave Lyra high praise in that post-match interview. I mean, I think it just, I don't know if no, it's not a crutch having your daughter there in the interview. Like I said, I thought it was super endearing and adorable. So, I mean, it was just one of those things. Your daughter's not going to be at every post-match conference at WrestleMania of all places. So, no, I just think it was just happened to be the circumstance. And no, there's a tremendous amount of respect. She even said, she's like, there's nobody I would have wanted to team with than my fellow countrymen. She's the future and the now of the WWE. So really high praise.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get back to Cena here in just a second. I heard there's some chats about Cena. We'll bring a full circle here in the closing segment. Before we do, one more topic. Stone Cold Steve Austin came out on his four-wheeler to announce the attendance. And he hadn't been drinking yet, apparently, but he was speeding around ringside. This dude nearly killed a woman in the front row. He crashed into the ringside barrier. This woman fell backwards. She was pissed. I mean, the look on her face, she was not happy. And then, you know, he does the segment in the ring, whatever, announces the attendance figure. He's chugging beers, mostly pouring them on his shirt. And then he goes over to her again at the end of the segment to check on her again. You know, he had checked on her when he originally hit the barrier. And he goes over there again, and Nick Khan is standing there talking to her in the front row. I mean, look, man, if you're her, you got to get some money out of this, right? I mean, that was a huge error on their part. And for a company that's putting all this corporate bullshit all over your screen all night long, the corporate mascots everywhere and bragging about how much money they're making, I hope this woman gets some money out of this. I really do.
That's the point that you just made right there. They're making money hand over fist and not paying their talent enough. So there's definitely plenty of money to give that woman. Yeah, I jumped out of my chair when I saw that happen. Michael Cole, 15 seconds later, said, "I'm getting out of the way of that ATV. I'm a little bit scared of Austin right now." And then, bam, I was like, oh my.
You probably know what I was thinking in that segment. You know, look right here. I was thinking, as he's out there, is Brett coming out? You know, they got that dual award at the Hall of Fame. We talked about on the show this morning how it was so weird to have Brett and Austin on the stage with no entrance last night on night one, while, you know, Hunter was the only one got the entrance for the Hall of Fame recognition at Mania. I thought for sure, maybe Brett already left town. I don't know. But it would have been cool if you get the Austin entrance and then he calls out Brett and Brett comes out with the shades on and gets that big, huge entrance in front of 60,000 people. If he was still there, it's too bad they didn't do that, because that's a no brainer, but maybe Brett left. I don't know. But that would have been cool. I was kind of waiting through the segment for that. We didn't get that, unfortunately, but I mean, thoughts go out to the woman, because you don't spend all that money on a front row Mania ticket and think that Steve Austin is going to take you out on his ATV. My God. That was scary, man. That could have been way worse.
Way worse. And I did see the WrestleTix attendance numbers, and it looks like WWE inflated them both nights by 3,000 each.
Yep. They worked the figure a little bit for sure.
Mm-hmm. They did hit 60 on this night, though, according to WrestleTix.
That was really weird, by the way. So I watched Paul Levesque, Hunter, his night one media scrum. And he talked about how it was sold out. And then he made a point to say, but we're gonna break this gate record tomorrow night. And I was thinking, you're running the same building. If it was sold out, what are you talking about? That doesn't make sense. Shouldn't it be the same gate? I don't know.
Maybe whatever. Different merch, more appealing merch is the only thing I can think of. I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it did get a few more people in the building tonight, for sure. But yeah. And then right after that was the main event, which we talked about. So to bring it full circle, before I forget, this was another point I was going to rant on in our open.
All right.
Commentary.
I'll go.
Real quick. Commentary. Michael Cole, who has been off all weekend. He's been blowing the names of moves. I think even McAfee corrected him a couple of times.
He did it in the Bianca match tonight. I forgot about that. He called it a moonsault when it was a 450.
Yep. Yeah. And it was McAfee, I think, that corrected him on that. Surprisingly, Pat McAfee did that. But yeah, Cole's kind of off this weekend. Okay. So for all the points I made about how they could have done the exact same match, babyface versus babyface, then you need to rely upon your commentators to sell that Cena is this dastardly heel, right? But throughout the match, if you listen to commentary, Michael Cole is saying stuff like, oh, the wily veteran John Cena, and you know, look, we no. If this is Jim Ross, and we'll say Jim Ross 20 years ago, he'd be like, that dirty, rotten son of a bitch, what is he doing out there? That cheating, no good, you know, none of that for Michael Cole. Just, oh, he's a veteran. You know, like, no, you need to sell that he's a dastardly heel. And they didn't do any of that in the main event. That was another problem I had with it.
Yeah, during the match, you're right. It didn't happen. At the very beginning, it did. He said, I'm going to be unbiased and down the middle. And there you go. So I guess that was kind of the point of it. All right, here's what I'll yell about or kind of talk slightly loud about was, and Cole mentioned it as well, Cena hasn't had a singles win on TV since Triple H at in Saudi Arabia. His last WrestleMania win was, I believe, was it Rusev at WrestleMania 31?
Yeah, probably.
That's absurd. You're losing to Austin Theory and Solo Sikoa. And yeah, look how bad that looks. And you're giving this guy a charity world championship. Now you got me pissed off. Oh, my heavens. No, I said it from the beginning. You said it from the beginning. Cody Punk was the main event on night two. Undisputed, because now, as somebody pointed out, how do you title run this till his retirement? If we had full control, he wouldn't have had the title in the first place.
Dude, to the point about how they should have done Punk and Cody with Punk turning heel. You know, if you didn't want to put Paul with him, which our idea or my idea or whoever proposed that originally was that, you know, Punk would turn heel, be with Paul. Okay, if they didn't want to do that, could have done Roman and Seth and done the exact same storyline with Heyman in Roman's corner, turning on Roman, going with Seth. And they could have done, you know, here, Cody face, heel Punk, whatever. Crowd still would have cheered Punk, but whatever. It's WrestleMania. It would have been way more appealing, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. Issues all around with that. Big time.
Punk could have easily gone heel at the end of the show somehow, some way too.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how good of a character he is. And the same thing with that. And with Seth and Roman, Seth would continuously owns Roman Reigns. You could tell that story. And maybe that's why Paul Heyman went with him. Who the heck knows?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think at this point, you know, Cena has to have the title a little while. I think it pretty much has to drop it back to Cody. I mean, you made your world champion that you've built this company around for the last year look like a total doofus. He lost on a belt shot. You know, he kicked out of the AAA. Like, again, four AAs in this match. He kicked out of one out of the corner, and he loses on a belt shot. I mean, he's gotta defeat Cena. I'm sure as hell not looking forward to that match, given how this one went. But at some point, he's got to drop it back to him. He's got to put him over, do the handshake, whatever. Cena will go out babyface. You know, in the interim, I guess, you know, there's different things you can do. Like, I'd like to see Cena work Punk again, maybe. Again, I am not real inspired about the ability of John Cena to carry matches right now after what we saw tonight on the biggest stage. You know, Gunther, yeah, you got to do something with Gunther, get his legs back under him, start building him back up. Drew is a guy who I think, you know, maybe could be a challenger for Jey Uso, depending on how, if they move him back over to Raw, you know, whatever. I feel, though, that whoever comes out, we're going to probably have Seth and Punk feuding again for a little while, because Roman's probably not going to be around. So judging how night one ended, one of those guys might come out and, you know, unseat Jey Uso for the title. I'd like for it to be Seth probably on Raw. That seems like the logical direction. But yeah, I mean, it is a strange partnership, but I'm intrigued to see how they explain it. Like that's gonna get me to tune in tomorrow night to Raw on Netflix. Like I'm looking forward to that show, regardless of how shitty the main event was. I'm not looking forward to SmackDown nearly as much. Although most weeks I'm not looking forward to SmackDown. That 3-hour show is a total bore of late. Raw's a pretty fun watch, though, so I'll definitely be tuning in tomorrow night. Yeah.
And to his other question, at what point do you need to give Roman a belt again? It's going to be a while, if at all, to be honest. Well, no, he'll get it at some point in time, but I'm not interested in part-time Roman as champion. That's kind of the way that it's been.
Yeah, I mean, people are, you know, with Roman, I've heard people speculate, because he only works these big matches now, and he's just said in an interview that he might only have a couple of years left. I've heard people speculate he might not have 10 singles matches left in him at this point.
Mm-hmm. I hope his health's okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know he's, absolutely. I think he's still on blood thinners, or is he off of those from his cancer?
I mean, I know there's one medication I think he takes all the time, but yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, we disagreed with some things that came out about Roman this week, but his health is paramount. He's, you know, valiantly fought that for years, which made some of his comments this week all the more questionable, given what's been happening with cancer research in this country since January, which is, you know, something near and dear to my heart as well. Very frustrating. I'm made it even more shocking what Roman said about that in the Vanity Fair interview. But no, we hope he's doing well. And I think he's just, ooh, I think he's just kind of, I think he's just looking to get into Hollywood, you know? So yeah. See.
Maybe a little bit lighter schedule and easier. Yeah. More money for his family.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, that was night two of WrestleMania. Not the greatest, you guys. Great show if you could cut the main event. I'll say that.
Like you said, if you flip-flop those main events, if you get Roman, Seth, and CM Punk in this main event slot on this night, this is probably an A show.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? That's like an all-time WrestleMania night if that ended this show, as good as that was with the undercard on this night. Yeah,
it's on par with 39 night one.
Yeah.
Maybe a little better. I don't know. I love that Usos, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn main event on top of Charlotte, Rhea, and Ray and Dom for what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Cena and Cody went 21 minutes and 40 seconds, and it felt every minute of that. Every minute of that. I don't think I called out the women's tag. That went 8:40. 8 minutes and 40 seconds. That one was pretty brief.
All of those are so short, Ryan. Even they the main event. Yeah. The main event, because the main event the night before was over 30. It was like 33 or 34 minutes. So you would think a 21-minute, 30, 40-second match wouldn't be as painful. But now that, again, you guys are talking me through it, when you put me on the spot right after having watched it and just thinking to myself, I'm like, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And now I'm starting to knock some sense into myself. And yeah, it probably was as bad as it. Everybody says that it was.
I know. Our friend Phil Lindsay was on Blue Sky. He said he thought it was like the worst WrestleMania main event ever, too. I did see that take from him, and I always respect his opinion. So when I saw he agreed with me, I felt like, all right, I think this is the right opinion, too. But I'm sure if you didn't see it, people are going to check it out of curiosity, like morbid curiosity, like a car crash. But it was it was bad. It was real bad. But watch the undercard, especially watch the opening match. Ooh. You will not regret it. Again, I mean, it was a sprint. That opening match, 14 minutes and 25 seconds. Awesome, awesome stuff. Best match of the weekend. Easily.
Gosh, I know. And that was like the same length as Tony Storm, Mariah May. It was like maybe 30 seconds longer.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. It is about 11:40. Central time. We both have children who are going to be up early. So yeah. I think we're going to call tonight. We reviewed night ones. If you guys didn't check it out, you can see it on our YouTube or podcast archives right now. If you want to stay up a little while later with us, we did that this morning. Check it out. Subscribe if you haven't already. Love to have your support. We have mostly been doing our shows on the weekends lately. So I think next weekend, either Saturday or Sunday morning, we'll probably be doing a show. We got Top Rope Nation Classics coming up, which is our Patreon bonus show. And you can find that. Let me just put the QR code on the screen. Maybe scan this.
While Ryan's doing that, fire that quick question before we get off the air.
We're doing a kind of a Patreon thing right now where we're trying to get to 50 patrons. We have 41 right now. When we get to 50, we're going to add a bonus show on our Patreon. We've got great bonus content, almost 200 bonus shows in the Patreon archives right now. So join up. You can do a 7-day free trial. See if you like the bonus stuff from us. Let's see. Tyler. Good to see Tyler. Old friend of mine.
Nice. Mr.
Tyler here. Yeah. What is this last question?
Appreciate your support. Let's throw it in there.
One AEW wrestler you think would have been good at WrestleMania today? Oh, man. Where do we end the list?
Who would I have taken? Yeah, who would you put in the John Cena spot facing Cody Rhodes in the main event of WrestleMania 41? I think that's probably the only person that you're going to replace at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Is
there anyone you want to lose, you know, to out of AEW either? That's the other question, is you put someone in there and then you got to lose them from AEW.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like who has overstayed their welcome right now? I mean,
there's a couple.
I mean, I don't think Moxley's probably ever going to go back there.
No.
But like Moxley Cody would have been a way more entertaining match for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would have been a good one. Cause I mean, the obvious answers are there. I'm not going to say the one guy. Cause selfishly would never want him to go to World Wrestling Entertainment. I actually will, just for the betterment of this exercise, Swerve Strickland.
Oh God. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you can't argue there. I definitely don't want to lose him from AEW,
right.
But I mean, it certainly would have been a lot more interesting. Tyler says, how many Miller Lights to make the main event bearable? I don't know if you noticed, I'm drinking Miller Lite. I had to switch to something lighter. I was drinking a Surly Furious from Jesse's neck of the woods up in the Twin Cities, and I was sure furious when I finished this, that's for sure.
I figured as such. I'm on the NA kick for this evening. Usually I'm when my son's here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, guys, we're gonna end it there. Good times. Thanks for listening to us rant. Appreciate some of the new names we saw in the chat. Tune in again another time. We'll be back next weekend. But yeah, you guys get some sleep. It's been a long weekend. We did see a lot of good wrestling, a lot of bad wrestling too. So, Jesse, any closing comments?
None. Again, patreon.com/toprope nation. Support us all. Justin, we miss you. He would have added some highly, highly entertaining content as well. So check us out in the coming weeks, because Justin brings a great dynamic to the show as well.
I think Justin will be listening to this in the morning at work, and he will enjoy this show. I think I would have to say, but I just said a second ago, we saw a lot of good wrestling, a lot of bad wrestling. We did actually see a lot of bad wrestling, some bad wrestling, mostly good wrestling this weekend.
Yeah.
Overall, it was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, it had to end the way it did, though.
Mm-hmm.
That was unfortunate.
2B WrestleManias. I think it's been a while since that's happened.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Take care. We'll catch you all again real soon. It's time to hit the hay, Jesse. It's been a long day. See you later, everybody.